भगवद गीता 5.27 स्पर्शान कृत्वा बहिर्बाह्यांश चक्षुश्चैवान्तरे ब्रुवो प्राणापानौ समौ कृत्वा नासाभ्यन्तरचारिणौ. सो हियर कृष्ण दिस वर्स मार्क्स अ ट्रांजिशन फ्रॉम कर्म योगा टू भक्ति to Gyan, to Ashtanga Yoga. The Bhagavad Gita is an inclusive book which gives an overview of various processes of yoga and thereby enables us to move towards the topmost yoga, Bhakti Yoga. So, in the first six chapters, it focuses on Karma Yoga and gives a trajectory of how Karma Yoga culminates in Bhakti Yoga. Through the intermediate step of Ashtanga Yoga. So, here we'll see that Krishna in this fifth chapter has talked about Karma Yoga till now, and 27-28th verses he will talk about Ashtanga Yoga, and 29th verse he will talk about Bhakti Yoga. And while talking thus, he will focus on the giving a summary over here in this chapter. So what he summarizes in verses 27 and 28 will be elaborated in chapter 6, which focuses on Ashtanga Yoga. And what he gives in a sutra-like form in 29th verse will be elaborated from chapter 7 to chapter 12. So Krishna has now talked about how by the practice of Karma Yoga, in the previous verse he said that use the word Brahma Nirvanam, Labhante Brahma Nirvanam. And now, of talking about that attainment of Brahma, of extinction of material existence and attainment of spiritual existence. Now Krishna moves forward and talks about how the Karma Yogi can also take an alternative trajectory and move towards Ashtanga Yoga. So here he describes the initial stage of Ashtanga Yoga. Now, Sparshan Krutva Bahirbahyamsh. Sparshan here refers specifically to the sense object of touch. Generically, it refers to all sense objects. So, sparshan krutva bahir bahayamsh. So, those which are external sense objects, keeping them outside, shut them outside. So, one object is used to refer to the full group here. Yes, as Krishna has used Shrotradin Indriyananya. There, Shabdadin Vishayananya is used in 4.26. So, Shrotra is ear and Shabda is sound. And of course, there Krishna used the word Anya. But sometimes just one is mentioned with a hint of others or with no explicit hint of others. But it represents the whole group, just like give us our daily bread. So now when bread it is included, give us water, we give us something to eat with the bread also. Bread represents that whole thing. Just like sometimes one particular specific can represent the whole group. Similarly, Sparshan here refers to the whole group. So, the sense object of touch. can be quite titillating. The sense gratification, it begins, especially in terms of sex, begins with seeing or hearing or whatever it may be. We may hear, we may see a beautiful, good-looking person. We may hear, as it happened with Vishwamitra, he heard the ankle bells of Menaka. But whichever it is, the sense gratification, especially in terms of sex, it terminates in sparshan. So, Krishna uses that sparsha as a representative to talk about how one should turn away from the sense objects, one should give up sense gratification. So, sparshan krutva bahirbhayam. So, give up, shut outside the sense, shut the sense objects outside. Don't let them come into the consciousness. And then, chakshush chaivantare bhruvo. Chakshush, let the eyes be fixed, antare bhruvo, on the space between the eyebrows. Bhruvo is eyebrows, antare is in the space between. Now, if we look physically, there's nothing specifically beautiful about the space between our eyebrows. And it's not even very easy to just focus our eyes on the eyebrows. But the point of this is to, again, this is a specific application which continues what's talked about in the previous verse, previous line. So, how does one do sparshan tutva bahirbhayam? How does one shut out the sense objects? Now, one way could be that we just close our eyes. But often closing our eyes is not opens us to the danger of going off to sleep. And keeping our eyes open opens us to the danger of not realizing, of getting distracted by the various things that we are seeing outside. So, one solution is the concentration point of the space between the eyebrows. By thus having a convenient focus point for the eyes, one can work thereafter on moving the consciousness in the desired direction, inwards, ultimately towards the indwelling Lord, which is what Samadhi is all about. So in that way, shut out the external sense objects, fix the senses, situate the senses in a way that they will not agitate. So one example of this is the eyes are fixed on the tip of the eyebrow. So there's nothing that can distract the eyes that way. Neither externals nor internals, nor the internal, say, overcoming by lethargy and sleep, not the external overcoming by the unending happenings in the world, with often the unending parade of the sense objects that is featured in the world. So, chakshush chaiva antare bhruvo, and after keeping the eyes like this, fixed between the sense objects, prana pana samau krutva. Nasa bhyantar charinau prana apana samaukritva. So to create a balance between the prana and the apana. These are two kinds of airs that are talked about in the Vedic literature, especially in the yogic literature, within the broad genre of Vedic literature, in the Ashtanga Yoga literature. One stage is called as pranayama, where is the regulation of breath, which is treated as a foundation for the redirection of consciousness. So the essential principle over here is that one shuts out the external in order to go towards the internal. And how one can further move towards the internal will be described in the 6th chapter, and this process itself will be further stated about, talked about in the next verse. Thank you.